Hey, everybody, and welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17 and 19 specifically,
All right.
with the one and only Dr. Leslie Allen.
I'm excited to be here.
Get ready for some serious royal drama because we're diving into the fall of the Judean monarchy.
Yeah, you know, it's...
And Ezekiel does not sugarcoat things.
It's a really fascinating period, you know, full of all this political intrigue and spiritual crisis.
Okay.
And Ezekiel really captures it all with this vivid imagery and these really cool metaphors he uses.
So before we get swept up in all the drama, can you set the stage for us a little bit? Like, what was going on in Judah at this time?
Well, imagine Judah as kind of this little boat caught in a hurricane, right? And that hurricane is the Babylonian Empire.
Oh, wow.
They're facing threats from all sides. And their leadership, well, let's just say it's not exactly inspiring confidence.
So the monarchy's in a bit of a crisis.
More than a bit, yeah. It's important to remember that in the Old Testament, kingship was supposed to be this divinely ordained system.
Right.
With the king acting as God's rep on earth. But the reality, often a far cry from the ideal.
Yeah, the age-old problem of power corrupting.
Exactly.
So how does Ezekiel portray this downfall? I've heard that he's got a real flair for the dramatic.
Oh, absolutely. He uses these extended metaphors that would have just completely captivated his audience.
Okay.
Chapter 17, for example, is this epic tale of two eagles and a vine.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Right?
Break it down for me.
So the first eagle is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon.
Okay.
He swoops down on this majestic cedar tree, which represents the royal line of Judah, and he snaps off the topmost shoot.
Oh, wow.
That shoot is King Jehoiachin, who's carried off to Babylon.
Okay.
This bustling, you know, hub of commerce and power. Think ancient Wall Street.
Wow.
On steroids.
So Nebuchadnezzar basically decapitates the Judean monarchy.
Pretty much.
But he doesn't just, like, leave it there, does he?
Right. No. He plants a new shoot in its place.
Okay.
Zedekiah, another member of the royal family. But here's where the real drama unfolds.
All right.
This new king, instead of learning from, you know, his predecessor's mistakes,
right,
starts looking to another eagle for support, the pharaoh of Egypt.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Why would he do that? I mean, didn't he know what happened to Jehoiachin?
You would think, right?
Right.
But Zedekiah, desperate to assert his independence, makes this fatal miscalculation.
Uh-oh.
He breaks a solemn oath. He swore to Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, no.
An oath sworn in God's name, no less.
Whoa, hold on. Breaking an oath in the ancient world?
Yeah.
That's not just, like, bad diplomacy. That's a spiritual transgression.
Exactly. Oaths were incredibly serious in ancient Near Eastern culture.
Yeah.
They invoked the divine witness and guaranteed the stability of treaties.
Right.
So by breaking oath, Zedekiah isn't just betraying Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
He's essentially spitting in the face of God.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
So what are the consequences for Zedekiah?
Well, Ezekiel doesn't mince words.
Okay.
He lays out Zedekiah's fate in stark detail.
Oh, boy.
He will die in Babylon, a captive in a foreign land.
That's tough.
And what's so tragic is that Zedekiah tried to escape this fate by breaking his oath. But it's that very action that seals his doom.
Oh, wow.
It's almost Shakespearean in its irony.
Talk about a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
But it's not just about Zedekiah, right?
No.
This whole episode speaks to the larger issue of leadership and responsibility.
Absolutely. Ezekiel uses Zedekiah's downfall as this cautionary tale.
Okay.
It's a stark reminder that true leadership isn't just about political power or military might.
Right.
It's about integrity, faithfulness, and recognizing a power greater than yourself.
And what about the people of Judah?
Oh.
How are they reacting to all of this? Because I can't imagine they're thrilled about their king, you know, breaking oaths and getting cozy with Egypt.
Well, if you want to hear their raw emotion, look no further than Lamentations 4.20.
Okay.
It's just this gut-wrenching expression of grief and despair over the capture of their king, the breath of our life, as they call him.
Wow.
It really echoes the disappointment and that sense of betrayal that must have been swirling through Judah at that time.
Yeah, it sounds like a collective heartbreak.
Yeah.
But before we spiral too far down into the abyss of despair,
right,
didn't you mention something about a glimmer of hope in chapter 17?
Oh, absolutely. Just when it seems like all is lost, Ezekiel throws in this incredible twist.
Okay.
Verses 22-24 mark this distinct shift in tone.
All right.
From judgment to restoration.
Okay, I'm ready for that roller coaster ride you promised.
All right.
Take me there.
What's so fascinating is that God himself takes over the narrative at this point.
Okay.
He's not just this passive observer in this drama. He's the director, the screenwriter, the lead actor.
He's running the show.
Yeah. He decides to plant a new shoot.
Okay.
But this time, it's not just another king destined to repeat the mistakes of the past.
This sounds different.
It is.
What's special about this new shoot?
Well, Ezekiel describes this new shoot as a future king who will embody true leadership.
Okay.
Bringing prosperity and judgments, not just to Judah, but to the entire world.
Wow.
It's almost like a sneak peek into a sequel.
I like it.
A promise that this isn't the end of the story.
Talk about a plot twist.
Right.
So even amidst the devastation of the fallen monarchy, Ezekiel is planting these seeds of hope for a future restoration, a future where God's plan will ultimately prevail. That's powerful.
It is, and it sets the stage for the rest of Ezekiel's message, which is full of both warnings and promises,
right,
judgments and visions of a future transformed by God's grace.
This is already blowing my mind, and we've only just scratched the surface.
I know, right?
But for now, we'll have to leave our listeners hanging on that cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Don't worry, folks. We'll be back to unpack the rest of this incredible story in our next installment.
See you then.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're still knee-deep in the world of Ezekiel, exploring the wreckage of the Judean monarchy.
Yeah.
And those epic metaphors that he throws around, like confetti.
He's a master of imagery, that's for sure.
Right, but before we jump back into that imagery and Ezekiel's vision of hope,
okay.
Dr. Allen pointed out something really interesting in his lecture, this chapter.
Chapter 18.
Which he called kind of a tangent. It seems to shift gears away from kings and empires and like zooms in on something totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Individual responsibility.
Yeah, it's a fascinating detour and one that I think is really essential to understanding like Ezekiel's message as a whole.
Okay, I'm all ears. How does individual responsibility fit into this whole saga of like national downfall?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. See, back in ancient Judah, there was this proverb going around.
Okay.
The parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge.
Hmm.
Basically, it was this idea that people were suffering because of the sins of their ancestors.
Right.
That their fate was like predetermined.
So kind of a fatalistic outlook, like what's the point of even trying?
Exactly. But Ezekiel comes in and totally flips the script.
Okay, I like it.
He's like, hold up, people. Every single one of you is responsible for your own actions.
Right.
You have the power to choose righteousness over wickedness, regardless of what your parents or grandparents did.
Now, that's a message I can get behind, but it seems a bit counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
Here's Judah on the brink of collapse. Their kings are making terrible choices.
Right.
And Ezekiel is focusing on personal accountability.
It might seem that way at first glance.
Yeah.
But think about it. Judah's about to be ripped from their homeland, sent into exile.
Right.
Everything they knew, their entire social and religious structure is about to crumble.
Yeah.
In that kind of upheaval. It's easy to feel helpless, like you're just a leaf caught in the wind.
Yeah, like you've lost all control.
Exactly. So Ezekiel steps in and reminds them, hey, even in the midst of all this chaos, you still have agency.
Okay.
You still have the power to choose how you will respond, how you will live your life, even in exile.
So it's a message of empowerment, even amidst a national crisis.
Absolutely.
It's like he's saying, don't let the actions of your leaders or even the sins of your ancestors define who you are.
Right.
You have the power to forge your own path, to choose righteousness, even when everything around you is falling apart.
That's a brilliant way to put it. And I think that message is just as relevant today as it was back then.
Absolutely. It's a timeless reminder that we're not just products of our circumstances.
Yeah.
We always have that capacity to choose to grow, to make a difference no matter what's going on around us.
And that choice, that individual commitment to righteousness, is what lays the groundwork for the restoration that Ezekiel will eventually unveil.
So it's not just about lamenting the past or even hoping for a better future. It's about making personal responsibility in the present moment, making those choices that align with God's will.
Yeah.
Even when it's hard, even when it feels like everything is falling apart.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that our individual choices, however small they may seem, contribute to the larger tapestry of history, both for ourselves and for the generations to come.
Okay, my brain is doing backflips right now. This conversation is giving me a whole new perspective on Ezekiel. I used to think of him as this doom and gloom prophet, but now I'm seeing this whole other layer of empowerment and hope woven into his message.
That's the beauty of diving deeper into these ancient texts. They're full of surprises and challenges that can speak to us across millennia.
So we've got these failed kings, broken oaths, heart-wrenching laments, and now this powerful message about individual responsibility.
Yeah.
How does it all tie together? What's the big takeaway here for us, you know, the listeners, thousands of years later?
Well, I think it's about understanding the delicate balance between the actions of leaders and the responsibility of individuals.
Okay.
Yes, leaders has an immense impact on the course of history, but so do our own choices, our own commitments to what's right and just.
It's like a cosmic dance, this complex interplay between individual agency and like the forces of history.
Right.
And it reminds me of something Dr. Allen said in his lecture.
Oh, yeah.
He mentioned how Ezekiel doesn't shy away from the harsh realities of his time.
Right.
But he also doesn't let those realities extinguish the flame of hope.
Exactly. It's like he's holding these two seemingly contradictory truths in tension.
Right.
The reality of judgment and the promise of restoration.
And that tension, that dynamic interplay between despair and hope,
yeah,
is what makes Ezekiel's message so powerful, so relevant even to this day.
I agree.
I'm already buzzing to hear how he brings those two threads together in his vision of the future.
Well, hold on to your hats, because that's exactly where we're headed in our next installment. We'll be diving into Ezekiel's breathtaking vision of a future beyond exile.
Okay.
A future where God's presence and power are fully restored.
Sounds epic. Don't miss it, folks. We'll see you back here soon for the grand finale of our Ezekiel deep dive. Welcome back to the deep dive. We're wrapping up our epic journey through Ezekiel, chapter 17 and 19, with Dr. Leslie Allen still steering the ship.
It's been quite a ride.
It has. We've witnessed the downfall of kings, the weight of broken oaths.
Right.
And the raw emotion of the people just poured out in those gut-wrenching laments.
It's powerful stuff.
And we've explored how individual responsibility plays such a crucial role, even amidst, you know, like national chaos. That was mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's a theme that runs through so much of Ezekiel's message.
Right.
This idea that even in the darkest of times, we still have the power to choose to make a difference.
But now it's time for the grand finale. The part I've been waiting for. Remember that glimmer of hope we talked about?
Mm.
That sneak peek into a future beyond exile?
Ah, yes, the sequel.
Yeah.
It's tucked away in those powerful verses 17.2224, where we see this incredible shift from judgment to restoration, from despair to anticipation.
Okay, hit me with that hope, because after all the doom and gloom, I'm ready for some good news.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just about going back to the way things were. It's about something far more radical, far more transformative.
What do you mean?
Remember that new shoot God plants?
Yeah.
It's not just another king plopped onto the throne. This time it's different. Ezekiel describes this future leader as someone who embodies true leadership. Someone who will rule with righteousness and justice, not through political maneuvering or brute force.
So it's not just about restoring the monarchy, it's about redefining it completely.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. This new kind of leadership won't be confined to little old Judah. Ezekiel talks about a worldwide dominion, a time when all nations will recognize God's sovereignty and experience the blessings of this righteous rule.
Wow, that's a huge vision. It almost sounds messianic, like it's pointing towards something even bigger than just the restoration of a nation.
You're picking up on something crucial there. This vision echoes those grand promises we find in the Psalms, like Psalm 2 and Psalm 110, which speak of a future king who will rule with justice and usher in an era of peace and prosperity for all creation.
So even amidst the wreckage of exile, Ezekiel is offering this glimpse of a future that's even more glorious than anything Judah had experienced before. It's like he's saying, yeah, things are rough right now, but don't lose sight of the bigger picture. God's got this, and he's working towards something incredible.
It's a message that has resonated with people throughout history, especially those facing their own exiles, their own moments of despair and uncertainty.
Right.
It reminds us that even when things seem hopeless, Dan is still at work weaving together a future that's far more magnificent than we can imagine.
This is making me think about all the challenges we face in our own world today. You know, it's easy to get bogged down in the negativity, the political divisions, the environmental crises. But Ezekiel's message is like a beacon of hope, reminding us that even in the midst of chaos, God is still in control, and he's still working towards a future filled with justice, righteousness, and peace.
That's exactly it. And it's not just about passively waiting for that future to arrive. Remember what we learned about individual responsibility.
Right.
We have a role to play in shaping that future, in making choices that align with God's vision for a just and compassionate world.
So it's about holding on to hope, yes, but it's also about actively participating in bringing that hope to life, right?
Beautifully put, Ezekiel's message is a call to action, an invitation to become agents of transformation, to embody those values of justice and righteousness in our own lives as communities.
This has been an incredible deep dive. I feel like we've gone from the depths of despair to the heights of hope. And it's left me with this renewed sense of purpose, a desire to be part of that story of restoration and renewal that Ezekiel so vividly portrays.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's the power of these ancient texts. They have the ability to speak across time and culture, challenging us, inspiring us, and reminding us that we're not just spectators in this grand drama of history, but active participants.
Thank you for being our guide on this journey. It's been truly illuminating.
It's been a pleasure. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into these ancient words. You never know what treasures you might uncover.
And to all our listeners, thanks for joining us on this epic deep dive into Ezekiel. We hope you've gleaned some nuggets of wisdom, some sparks of hope, and maybe even a few aha moments along the way. Until next time, keep seeking truth, keep embracing hope, and keep diving deep.